Oui, c'est bon. Oui, c'est bon. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you, Lord, for your interventions that we got through prayers and faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Most High God, for defending us in the battles of life. Thank you for making us stronger than our enemies. Thank you for subduing darkness under our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for our prayers that you have answered. We are also grateful for keeping us in perfect peace and joy and good health. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for always meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us strength and power to do those things our human strength cannot do. Thank you for giving us wisdom to live a life that is acceptable in your sight. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the knowledge of you that we have right now, even the knowledge of your truths and of your word. Thank you because through your knowledge, you have established us in faith. And through the knowledge of your word, you have given us freedom and transformation and spiritual maturity. Thank you, Lord. We are also grateful for great plans you have for us. We know that you have great things in store for us, and we shall not miss any of them. Thank you, Lord. We know that you have created a glorious future for us, and you're going to take us into that future. Thank you, Father. We are here this evening to seek your face and to pray and to lay at your feet. Oh Lord, minister to our hearts in Jesus' name. Let everything that we are going to learn from your word tonight do us good in Jesus' name. Help us to grow spiritually so that we can help others grow as well. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to look at another topic, which is under the broad title, which is persecution. The broad title of our Bible study class is persecution. Persecution. Yeah, and we have looked at several points and topics. So we're going to be looking at another topic right now. Last Tuesday we looked at be fearless and unmovable. And that is point A under point number 3 that says attitude to have during persecution. Attitude to have during persecution. Yeah, and we talked on be fearless and unmovable. So now we are moving to point B, which is have joy in persecution. And that is the topic we are considering right now. Have joy during persecution or in persecution. So when you are being persecuted, you should have joy. You should be filled with joy. You should be full of joy when you are being persecuted. Have joy in persecution. Let us look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let me read from verse 11. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are ye. So that implies that there is blessing in persecution. You know, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus himself said, there is blessing in persecution. And we should be joyful and happy whenever we experience persecution, because there is blessing there. There is blessing there. And we will not only be blessed in heaven for enduring persecution, we will also be blessed here on earth for enduring persecution. Yeah, so persecution should give you joy, yeah, and not sorrow. Yeah, the fact that people are attacking you because of your faith in Jesus Christ shouldn't give you sorrow. It should bring you joy. Yeah, the fact that people are falsely accusing you and even falsely falsely accusing you, and maybe they are speaking negative words about you or towards you. Yeah, maybe they are using abusive words. Yeah, towards you. Or words of insult on you, you should be happy. You should be happy that they are doing that because you are standing in the truth. You should be happy that men are doing that against you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, because of your identity in Jesus Christ. You should be happy that they are doing that to you. Yeah, because there is blessing in persecution. The more they persecute you, the more blessed you will become. The more blessed by God you will become. Yeah, the more they persecute you, the more blessed you will become. And that is if you manifest the right attitude during the persecution, yeah, then you will get the blessing. But if you embrace or manifest a wrong attitude during persecution, then you won't get the blessing, and you might even sin against God. For instance, if you start to retaliate, you will not get any blessing. Yeah, because Jesus said, if anyone slap you on one cheek, Jesus said you should turn the other cheek for the person to slap. Yeah, if anyone slap you on your face, on maybe on the right side of your face, and someone slap you on the right side of your face, Jesus said, turn the left side for the person to slap. Yeah, it is when you turn the left side of your face for the person to slap, that is when you get the blessing. But if, either you turn the left or you just walk away. Yeah, but if you raise up your hand and slap the person back, you cannot get the blessing. Yeah, so the kind of attitude that you manifest during persecution is going to determine if you will get your reward or not. So I pray that give you grace to manifest the right attitude when you are being persecuted in Jesus' name. Yeah, so Jesus said in that Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, that blessed are we when men revile us and persecute us. And then he went further to say that we should be glad, we should be happy, we should rejoice whenever we happen to go through that, because great is our reward in heaven. And we are not the only one that would go through that. Yeah. Because even the prophets in the Old Testament, they were also seriously persecuted. Yeah. So in order to partake of the blessing that is in persecution, make sure that you have the right attitude in the persecution, while going through the persecution. Make sure you have the right attitude. And the attitude we are talking about right now is joy. Make sure you have joy when you are being persecuted. Yeah, persecution can come from even your closest friend. Persecution can come from your parents. It can even come from your spouse. It can come from your own children. Yeah, persecution can come from anyone. Yeah, it can come from people that you don't expect they would betray you. Yeah, it can come from them. It can come from people you don't expect would turn against you because of your faith in Jesus. Yeah, in fact, it can come from so-called Christians. Persecution can come from so-called Christians in the church and so-called pastors and ministers of God in the church. Yeah. So we should be happy when that happens. We should not, because of that, start fighting or quarreling or start having or holding bitterness in your heart, anger in your heart, and or you start looking for ways to pay the person back, ways to retaliate. That is not the right attitude when you are, you know, that is not the right attitude to have when you are being persecuted. And let us also look at another scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 to 23. Luke chapter 6, Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers, unto the prophets. You can see Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. So, which means you should expect to be separated from others. Yeah, because human beings hate when someone is trying to influence them to do what they don't want to do. Yeah, most human beings, they hate being influenced to do things they have made up their minds not to do. Yeah, because a real Christian is an influencer. A true Christian is an influencer, whether directly or indirectly. Yeah. If a Christian is living, is alive according to the will of God, according to the word of God, that lifestyle is going to be influencing others. Yeah, that righteous lifestyle of such believer is going to be influencing others around. Yeah. And the kind of influence such lifestyle gives is to make others feel guilty. Yeah. The kind of influence that comes from the life of a Christian. Yeah, I mean the righteous life of a Christian is such that convicts others of their sins and make others feel guilty. Yeah, so as the people of the world are watching your lifestyle, as they are watching your lifestyle, I mean your righteous lifestyle, not just ordinary lifestyle, your righteous lifestyle, as the people of the world are watching that lifestyle, they are being influenced. Yeah, they might not tell you. Yeah, they might not open their mouths to tell you that your way of life is influencing them. But they are being influenced. Yeah, the light of God that is coming out of your lifestyle is touching them. And that life, which is also a light, is going to be making them feel guilty of the wrong life that they are living. And not only that, it's going to make them feel convicted of their sins. Yeah, they begin to feel sorry for their sins. Now, this is where I'm going. Now, there are some people who don't want to repent. They don't want to repent. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to please God. So when they realize that your presence around them is influencing them to turn away from their sinful lifestyle, what they would do is they will start looking for how to get rid of you. That is, either to push you away or they stay away from you. Yeah, so that was what Jesus was saying here. He said they will remove you from their company. Yeah, because they felt like you are different. You are too different from them. Yeah, because you and them have nothing in common. And they don't want to bend to embrace the kind of lifestyle that you have. So what they would do is to push you out of their company. Yeah. Either they do it directly or indirectly. Yeah, because they don't want your lifestyle to influence them till they have to repent, because they don't want to repent. And they know that your company with them is going to make them to continue to feel uncomfortable. So they would rather push you out of their company or separate themselves from you. And this could be someone that maybe you and the person have been friends since childhood. Yeah. This could be a very close relative. This could be even your parents, yeah, or siblings. Yeah. Because they know they and you have nothing in common. And they don't want your righteous lifestyle to convert them, because they don't want to be converted. They don't want to change. They want to continue in their sins, in their unrighteousness. Yeah. So they don't want your lifestyle to change them. And they have tried to change you, but you have refused to change. You have refused to compromise with their ways. Yeah, so if they try to change you and you refuse to change, then they have to push you away. Yeah, because if they can't change you, it means you can change them. Yeah, and since they don't want to change, they will have to push you away. Yeah, and Jesus said here that whenever this happens, you should not feel bad. Even if you already have emotional attachment with that person, Jesus said, whenever such thing happens, don't feel bad. In fact, be happy. And let us read that verse again. Yeah, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as heathen for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day. That is what Jesus said. Said you should rejoice and leap for joy. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said you should be so excited. Yeah, because I've seen some Christians go into depression and start thinking, Because unbelievers push them aside or push them out of their company. That is not the right attitude to have. Jesus said, leap for joy. Yeah, I've seen some Christians start crying because their unbelieving parents disowned them. Yeah. Or chased them out of the house. Now, there are cases where unbelieving parents would chase their children who happen to be believers in Jesus. There are cases where unbelieving parents would chase their children out of the house and tell them, I disown you. Don't ever come into this house again. If you will not worship the idol we are worshiping, if you will not serve this God that we are serving, this goddess we are serving, this idol we are serving, if you will not serve this same idol, get out of this house. We disown you. Words like that. They will speak such words to their children and send their children out of the house. Yeah, but Jesus said, even when that happened, rejoice and leap for joy. Yeah, that is not the time to be crying and feeling rejected and feeling betrayed. No, that's not the time. That's the time to rejoice. That is the time to rejoice. I pray that you will not forget these words of Jesus Christ that says you should rejoice during persecution in Jesus' name. Now let us also look at another scripture. chapter 5, verse 40 to 41.
Acts chapter 5, 40 to 41. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Praise the Lord. Can you see that? These are the founding believers of Christianity. These are the believers that started Christianity, that started the church. Yeah, these are the early Christians, the early apostles. They were excited that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Unlike what people do nowadays. Yeah, I mean so-called Christians, unlike what some so-called Christians do nowadays. They can't even endure shame for the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus. They can't go through shame for the sake of the name of Christ. Any small thing, they run away. Any small thing that the enemy push at them, they run away. They say, no, how can I go through such shame? But we have examples in the scriptures, and we should follow such examples. So that the apostles, they give us the perfect example to follow. But are we really following those examples? These men were beaten. Grown up men, adults. They were beaten. And not only beaten, they were not criminals. You know, when you steal and then you were being beaten for wrongdoing, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed because you deserve the beating. But these people were no criminals. They did nothing wrong. The only thing they did was to preach about Jesus. But the council considered it to be wrong, and then they beat them publicly. And not only that, they told them, don't ever talk about this name again. And of course, they didn't listen to, you know, they can't listen to such command. Because even after this beating, they still continued to preach Jesus. But the point is that they were excited. They were not faking it. They were not trying to pretend to be happy for going through such humiliation. They were really happy from the depths of their heart. yeah, if such thing were to happen to you, I mean you that is hearing me right now, I mean you that is listening to me right now, if such thing were to happen to you, are you going to really rejoice from the bottom of your heart? Are you going to be really excited that some people on your clothes, yeah, that your clothes were torn into pieces, and then you were being flogged or beaten in the public, yeah, for the sake of Jesus, will you still be happy? Will you still be happy? Having gone through that? Yeah, because they didn't flog them with their clothes on. Usually in those days, they will remove your clothes before they would they will flog you. They will remove your clothes. Yeah, and usually they make sure that your skin are being pierced. Yeah, they make sure that you are wounded during the beating. Yeah, so it's not just ordinary beating. So in most cases, there will be wounds with blood coming out after such beatings. Yeah, so imagine such thing happened to you because you stood for Jesus or because you are preaching Jesus. Will you still be happy? Will you be happy that, you know, happy that such thing happened to you? So this man gave us the example to follow. Yeah, let us read that 41, verse 41 again. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing that they had an opportunity to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Do we have men like that today? Do we have men like that today? And are you like that? Yeah. May the Lord help us to follow this example. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at another scripture. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3. Yeah, because today, Christians are too comfortable. Too comfortable. And we see this world as our resting place. Yeah. We don't even, you know, we don't see ourselves as strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Christians are now so materialistic. They just want to gain everything in the world. Yeah, so nobody wants to suffer shame for the name of Jesus anymore. Yeah, and that is why we compromise in love. Romans chapter 5.
Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Yeah, let me read from verse 1, Romans chapter 5, from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Yeah,
you see, Apostle Paul said he and his missionary team glory in tribulations also. He and other believers glory in tribulations also. Yeah. So we should glory in tribulations. We should boast about it. You know that particular verse where Apostle Paul said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure some of you have come across that verse in your Bible. Yeah, I'm sure you have come across that verse. Now, some people think that verse is really talking about some spiritual mark. Yeah, maybe we should read that verse.
Yeah, he said, no man should trouble him because, yeah, Galatians, that verse is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, so people think the marks of the Lord Jesus in this verse is some kind of spiritual marks.
No, those marks are not spiritual marks. And it's not some kind of marks of protection. Yeah, as some people use it in prayer, they say, let no devil trouble me, for I bear upon my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, that is not the original context of that verse. Of course, I know that God can put a mark on someone. For instance, God placed a mark on Cain so that nobody will be able to hurt him. Yeah. But this particular verse is not talking about some kind of marks of protection. And it's not talking about some spiritual mark. He's talking about the fact that there are scars on the body of Paul, scars that came as a result of all these beatings. I don't know if you're getting my point. So that verse is referring to physical scars. You know, like for instance, There are some wounds that some of you probably had when you were a child, and then when you grew up, those scars are still on your body. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was referring to those type of scars or marks. Yeah. And he got those scars from the work of God, from the beatings. Yeah. Because they were beaten several times, flogged. Yeah. So he was referring to those marks. Yeah, because after the wound healed, it left scars on his body. Yeah, so that was why he said they should not trouble him, like he has gone through a lot already. Yeah, and he was still going through a lot at that time. So he was telling them not to trouble him, not to pressure him. He already have a lot of burden he's bearing. Yeah. We should learn from men like that. Yeah, because in the kingdom of God, you are going to get promotion through those marks. Yeah, that's how you get promoted in the kingdom of heaven. Your promotion is based on how much have you suffered for the sake of Jesus. How much marks have you gotten? How much marks have you gotten on your body? Yeah, for the sake of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying if you don't have marks on your body that you should now go and look for one. You should now go and find one. No. What I'm saying is that the kingdom of heaven rewards only sacrifices. That is what heaven rewards. Heaven rewards only sacrifices. Yeah. And if you hardly sacrifice anything for Jesus, for God, then stop looking for any reward. Yeah. Because you will get nothing. I'm telling you the truth. You will get nothing. Yeah. So these men, they are sure of the rewards they would get in heaven, because they have things to show for it. You know, when they were on earth, they had, for instance, Apostle Paul had marks on his body to show that he's going to heaven to get rewarded, because he suffered for the name of Jesus. Yeah. How much have you suffered for the name of Jesus? How much have you suffered? How much have you lost for the sake of Jesus? How much have you surrendered for the sake of Jesus? These were men that were willing to die. Yeah, they don't even care about their lives. Yeah, they don't love their lives. They were willing to die. Yeah, because and they have encountered death several times. Yeah, so death is nothing, nothing fearful to them. They were not scared of death. Yeah, because they have seen death several times. Yeah, but because God doesn't want them to die at those times, they escaped. They escaped death. Yeah, I pray that this generation of Christians will follow the examples of men and women of the early church. In Jesus' name. Because all these things that were written in the Bible, they were written as examples for us to follow. I pray you will follow those examples. In Jesus' name. And let us also look at 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4.
Second Thessalonians 1 verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Yeah, these are the Thessalonians. Apostle Paul said, he is proud of them. That's another word for glory. Yeah, he said, they glory in them, boast about them, proud of them, because of their patience and faith during persecutions and tribulations. So these Thessalonian believers, they faced all manner of persecutions and tribulations, and yet they still kept the faith. They still kept the faith and patience. Yeah, so we should glory in things like this. Today, you know, Christians glory in rubbish. Yeah, we glory in rubbish. And let me mention those rubbish. We glory in, I've just bought a very expensive car. Yeah, or I've just built a very expensive house. Yeah, or you know those things. Yeah, those are not the things we should glory in. Acquiring earthly riches and wealth. Those are not the things we should boast about. We should glory in things like these. That is, in persecutions, in tribulations. The fact that we are able to stand after being faced with persecution. That is what we should glory in. Yeah, that is what you should glory in. That you have been tempted, but you did not fall into the temptation. That is what you should glory in. Yeah, that you have been provoked to anger, and yet you did not get angry at all. That is what you should glory in.
that you have been persecuted concerning your faith, and yet you did not faint. You still maintained the right attitude. That is what you should glory in. Not that you have a lot of money in your bank account. Does God care about that? Do you think the angels, they care about the money you have in your account? Or God care about how much possessions you have? Yeah, look, nobody in heaven is moved by that. Yeah, if you like, have billions. Nobody in heaven is moved by that. Yeah, if you like, build 100 mansions in several countries of the world. No one in heaven is moved by that. Do you know what really move or what really will move the people in heaven? Is these things we are talking about. Yeah, how much pressure you endured, how much pains you endured, how much tribulations, trials, persecutions you endured because you love God so much, how much temptations you overcame. Because you love God so much, that is what will move them in heaven. Yeah, not all this rubbish that we are running after on earth. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. So let us look at another scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 14.
But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that hath kept you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Oh, praise the Lord. You can see Peter saying there that if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Yeah, and then you should also be careful how you respond during those times you are suffering for righteousness' sake. Yeah, he said you should respond with meekness and fear. Yeah, because some people, they have only gone through some little sufferings because of Jesus. And then they are everywhere shouting about it. Yeah. What are they trying to gain? Yeah, some people, they only went through some little suffering because of Jesus. And then they're already looking for reward from Jesus. They're already saying, Jesus, you see how much I have suffered for you? Yeah, where's my reward right now? Give me my reward right now. And some, everywhere they go to preach, they will be saying those things. Oh, I went to this and this place. I went to so and so
country. And they did this, they did that to me. Yeah. There's no reward in those things. Yeah. That was why Peter was saying, even while you're going through these sufferings, be careful how you respond to whoever asks questions about your hope in the Lord. Yeah, don't speak with pride. You know, don't speak with pride that I am going through things for Jesus. Look at you, what have you gone through? Yeah. Yeah, don't speak with pride. I say, look at what I went through this for the sake of the gospel. And then you're just there. Or you're just here. And nothing is happening to you. Yeah. And then you start feeling more important than the others. Because you went through things they didn't go through. No, that doesn't make anyone more important. Yeah. In fact, it should make you more humble. Yeah. The sufferings that we go through, the persecutions that we go through, are to make us more humble and prepare us for heaven. Yeah. They are to make us more humble. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Let us also look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14.
First Peter chapter 4, 12 to 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God respect upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, if we in Christ's suffering, we shall also see Christ's glory. If we share in his sufferings, we shall definitely share in his glory, even right here on earth before we enter into heaven. You will share in that glory as well. Yeah. There are things that the apostles knew in their days that the generation of today's Christians are yet to know. Yeah, there are some level of glory they knew and experienced that today's church is yet to know. And they were able to encounter such glory because they joyfully and gladly shared Christ's suffering. Yeah. Many of them had opportunity to make money and become physically rich, but they gave up those opportunities because they wanted something eternal. They wanted eternal treasures, eternal glory. They wanted something that cannot perish, because everything in this world, they are perishable. They will perish. It's just a matter of time. In fact, even this body that you and I have is going to perish eventually. So these men, they had opportunities to actually accumulate earthly things, like what many Christians are doing now, accumulating earthly things. These people had opportunity to do that, but they refused. Yeah, they chose to go in the way of the cross, the way of sufferings. Yeah, and because of that, God rewarded them with some level of glory that I've not seen in the church today. Do you know that in those days, in the early church, the faces of believers used to shine like sun? And we saw an example of Stephen. You can go and read about Stephen. Stephen, I think that should be Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. Yeah, you're going to see the story of Stephen there. Yeah, the Bible said that as he stood before the council, his face was shining like that of an angel. His face. I mean, this was not in a dream. This was physical. You know, just the way the face of Moses was shining after he came down from the mountain. And the people couldn't look at his face. Yeah, the same way the face of this man was glowing like the sun radiating. Yeah. And it was not only Stephen that had that type of appearance. Those that did research on church history, they say many people in the early church usually have that type of glory appearance. So these are men that God was glorifying himself on their earthly bodies, that their faces were shining. Yeah, because of how much they have laid down to carry the cross. Yeah, because of how much suffering of Jesus they are ashamed. So Jesus also wasn't ashamed to glorify them, even here on earth. You know, even Jesus was glorified before he died. You know, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, He went to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he took Peter, James, and John with him. The Bible said his countenance suddenly changed. Yeah. And he was radiating like the sun, and even the clothes on him became white, very white, like snow. Yeah. This happened physically. Yeah. I'm saying all these things so that you can understand that the present touch is far behind in the plan of God. The church of today, I mean, the present generation of Christians are far behind in the plan of God. And whatever glory that we think we are seeing, I don't even think we are seeing any glory. Yeah, is not, whatever glory we think we are seeing is not glory. It's not glory at all. It's not like what the early church saw. Yeah, so we are not saying anything. Yeah, we are not seeing anything. And we have not seen anything. Yeah, because no one is ready to pay the price. Everybody care more about themselves. Yeah, the church is full of, I mean, today's church is full of self-centered people, materialistic people, selfish people, and of course, hypocrites, pretenders, deceivers, and rebellious people. These are the kind of people that we have in today's church. And how can God, how will God put His glory upon those kind of people? Yeah. In fact, if God tries it, He will kill them. If God tries to put, if God makes an attempt to put the kind of glory He placed upon the early church, that we read in the Bible. I mean, the early church we saw in the Bible, we read about in the Bible. If God make an attempt to put the glory placed on them, upon the church of today, all of us will die. Yeah, the church of today is going to die if God tries that. Yeah, because the glory is going to kill us. Now, one thing about God's glory is that if it comes upon someone that is unworthy, it's going to kill that person. Yeah. And that was how a lot of people died in the wilderness. Yeah. That was exactly what killed many of the Israelites in the wilderness, because the glory of God was physically with them. Yeah. And yet they kept on misbehaving and disobeying God, and God killed many of them. Many of them were killed by God Himself than by their enemies. So the glory killed many of them. Yeah, because their lifestyles were against the glory of God. Yeah, so that was why I said, if God tries that, a lot of people will start. You just hear that in a certain church, 50 people died within 3 days. And then another church, 100 people dead within 2 days. Yeah, people will just keep dying. Yeah, so sometimes we pray for what we don't even know. Because people are praying, oh Lord, let your glory fall. Yeah, some people are praying day and night, oh Lord, reveal your glory. Release your glory. Let your glory fall. Oh Lord, I want to carry your glory. Put your glory upon me. They don't know what they are asking for. Yeah, because if God were to really answer that prayer, many of them are going to die. Yeah, because the lifestyle they have chosen to live is a poison to God's glory. Yeah, and they are not ready to repent and turn away from such lifestyle. Yeah, so if the glory were to come upon them the way they are asking, the glory would kill them instantly. Yeah, so we need revival in the church of today. Yeah, and we need to start walking in the examples that the people of the early church laid down for us to follow. So if we can follow the apostolic pattern that were laid down by the early church, by the early Christians, then we will see the glory they saw. And in fact, we will see a greater glory than that. Yeah, because there's a prophecy in the scriptures about a greater glory being revealed in these last days. And we are in the last days. Yeah, so we're not only going to see the glory the early church saw, we are even going to see a greater glory than that. But we are not ready for such thing. Today's church is not ready for such. May the Lord help us and revive us in Jesus' name. Yeah, so in summary, when you are being persecuted, have the right attitude. Be full of joy. And this is not a joy that you can fake. When you are suffering for the sake of Christ, for the sake of your faith, be full of joy. Full of joy. Yeah. And it has to be real joy. It has to be real joy, not fake one. Real one that is coming from deep, deep down in your heart. Yeah, because you are not moved by the suffering, but you are glorifying God and thanking God for giving you the privilege to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Yeah, just small scarcity. Some of you already messed up. Just small scarcity. God allowed you to go through just a very small scarcity. I mean, small period of scarcity or short period of scarcity. By scarcity, I mean you lack certain things that you needed. Maybe money or food or whatever. Just because God let you go through a short period of scarcity, you already messed up and you already bitter against people because you're expecting that those people will send you money. Yeah. If just a short period of scarcity and make you behave like that, then I don't think you are ready for these things I've been teaching about. Yeah, because just a short period of scarcity or trouble or problem You're already saying, oh, this is too much. I can't take it anymore. Oh, I can't go, I can't endure this. Oh, this is too much. Oh, this, oh, that. If just short period of going through a challenge is now already affecting your faith and relationship with God, then what will you now do if you are publicly humiliated and shamed because of Christ? Maybe the next thing is that you go and kill yourself or commit suicide. I pray that God help every one of us, and not just every one of us here, but that He help every Christian all over the world. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. You're going to pray just one prayer point, and after that, I will pray for you and pray on your water. Yeah, because we didn't have the Healing Streams program, so I still want to retain the opportunity or the privilege for you to receive prayers on your water. Yeah, so I'm sure you saw the notification on the group. Yeah, and I'm sure you have your water with you. Yeah, but before we go into that, you're going to pray this prayer for yourself. You're going to say, Father, help me to become a real Christian like those in the Holy Church. Father, help me to become a real Christian like those in the Holy Church. Open your mouth and pray like that. Open your mouth and pray like that. Father, help me to become a real Christian like those in the Holy Church, because the same grace you gave the Holy Church is the same grace that you have given to me and every other Christian in the world today. Say, Father, help me to maximize your grace and transform into a real Christian. Yeah. Pray like that. Say, Father, help me to respond well to your grace. Help me to cooperate with your grace. Help me to maximize your grace. Help me to walk worthy of your grace, so that your grace can change me to a real Christian. Help me to do things that will allow your grace to change me into a real Christian. Yeah, the grace of God that was given to the early church is also the same with what we have now. It has not changed. It is we that are not allowing the grace to do what God sent you to do. Ask God to help you. And Father, help me to become a real Christian. Like those of the early church. Help me to allow your grace change me to a real Christian. Nathaniel, we are saying that as saying this prayer. Help me to allow your grace change me to a real Christian. The Lord, I refuse to be a fake Christian, because that is what many of us are. Fake. Not happy Christians. Yeah, because if we don't meet up with the standard, then we're not worthy to be called that name Christians. Christian. The people who received that name, they were not living like we are living today. The people who received that title, Christian, they were not like what we have become today. Say, Father, help me to allow your grace change me to a real Christian. A real Christian that is willing to suffer and to die for the name of Jesus and for the sake of Jesus. Make me to that kind of Christian. Help me to maximize your grace in my life by being obedient to your word. In the name of Jesus, change me, O Lord, into a real Christian. A real Christian that heaven can boast about. A real Christian that the whole of heaven can boast of and be proud of. Father, change me into such Christian. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to pray for you now. And also, put on your water. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this hour. Thank you for everything you have revealed to us in your word. Thank you for showing us how much we stand to gain if we follow the examples of the early church, the early apostolic church in your word, in your Bible. Thank you for showing us how much we stand to gain if we follow such examples. Thank you also for showing us that we should be joyful we should be glad. We should be so happy. We should be exceedingly glad whenever we go through persecutions and tribulations and trials. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things. We praise forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here grace to do the things they have heard tonight. In Jesus' name, I ask that you help everyone here to manifest the right attitude during the moment of persecutions. In Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you have mercy on your people and visit their lives, touch their lives right now in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you release your power into the life of everyone here right now. And let your power do deliverance operations and healing operations in every life now in Jesus' name. I pray, O Lord, that you release your power even into the water they have presented before you right now. Release your power into that water and let great deliverance happen in their lives as they use this water, as they drink it. Let great transformation, great healings, great revival happen in their lives in Jesus' name. Let this water become a vehicle of your power and fire. And let everything you have not planted in their bodies and souls and spirits be uprooted through this water in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.